Okay, we're up to Siman Tov Kuf Chav Zayin. We're moving on. We are up to Siv Ches. We learned the halachas of Eruv Tavshilin. So far, we've discussed that there is a halacha of making Eruv Tavshilin. We learned yesterday it's a mitzvah to make an Eruv Tavshilin. We also learned, we touched yesterday, and we're going to explore that a little bit further tonight. There's an option of making a collective Eruv by the Rav, can make a collective Eruv Tavshilin. It's really meant for people who forget or don't have an opportunity or they misplace it. So one can rely on the Erev Tavshilin of a Rav. And that's where we're holding Seif Ches, third line from the top. Kshem Arev al Acherim, if you do make an Erev for others, Eino Tzorech Leforet, you do not need to specify. It's more global. So you don't have to make, if you're the Rav, you don't have to say, okay, I'm making Erev for Mr. Cohen, Mr. Levy, Mr. You don't have to be mefarad. You don't have to be specific. Elo, rather, meniach bichlal al kol pnei ha'ir. You make a generic eruv for the entire city. V'chol mishu b'tchum ha'ir, and whoever is in the vicinity in the tchum ha'ir of the city, yoitze bo is yoitze. So that's the tchum ha'ir. Now we know there's a halacha of the tchum ha'ir. What's the tchum ha'ir? What's the tchum? The boundary. Yeah, so are you allowed to go out of the boundary and go in the boundary on Yom Tov? Why should it be allowed? Tchum? So the halacha is you can't. It's like on Shabbos, you can't go in and out of the Tchum. Similarly, on Yom Tov also, you can't go in and out of the Tchum. So will the Eruv work for somebody who's out of the Tchum? On Yom Tov? Will the Eruv work for somebody who's out of the Tchum? If the Rav makes an Eruv, will it work for people who are outside of the Tchum? Probably not. Indeed, says the Ramah. Havol mishu chutz l'tchum, says the Ramah, whoever is outside of the tchum, eno yoytze boy. So if somebody is in, let's say, Brumwood is out of the tchum, which may or may not be the case, so if somebody is there, you can't rely on the Rav of in the London, because it's outside of the tchum. Eno yoytze boy. Afilu in yach eruv tchumim, v'yoytze v'yocholov olikan, even if there is an eruv tchumim is being placed, and thereby enabling a person to go in and out, that doesn't help. Elohim Kane, he's not of Aminyach Bed, unless somebody appointed as Shliach, you told the Rav, you know, can you please be for me? That, then it would work. But a generic global Eruv will only work for people who are within the Tchum, but it won't work for people outside of the Tchum. Okay. Siftes discusses the intention aspect. Intention. So, Siftes, das Meniach Bo'inon. You need the Rav who makes that Eruv, he needs to have intention. Das meniach binon. So, Sheikhaven lehoitzi l'acha, he needs to have the intention of being moitzi. All the people who forgot, who misplaced the Eruv. Aval, but, das mi shenicha bishviloi, but what about the person who forgot the Eruv? Loi beinu b'shas anochi, he doesn't need intention. So, say, I forget to make an Eruv. So there's the Rav of the city, every Bezdin makes an Eruv. So they're going to make an Eruv. So they have intention to be moitzi whoever forgets, whoever may be, and that's fine. They have the intention. Me, as an individual who forgot, I don't have to have intention to be yoitzi without Eruv. It works automatically. Rak sheyodiu b'yom tov kodim sheyas chilevash l'tzorich haShabbos. There just has to be on Shabbos. There has to be. He needs to have the knowledge that on Yom Tov he has to have the knowledge that an eruv was made by the ruach of the city. An eruv was made for him, so it needs to be that kind of knowledge. Nowadays. Since every Rav of a Kehillah and every Bezin makes an Eruv, you don't need to seek out and find out, investigate. It's known and it's understood that if a person forgets, he can rely on the Eruv of the Rav. V'im derech ha'godol oniach aleim, says the Ramah, if the norm is that the Rav makes an Eruv, so im chnala mistom, we can just rely on that. Yeah.
It is what, yeah, so.
Let's say
No. It seems from the Mishnah that you can't, because it's negligence. You didn't care about the mitzvah, so you're negligent, so tough luck. You can't be relying on the global one.
What does a person do if they're staying in a house somewhere that's not their local town? Can they rely on...
Wherever it is.
Even though they don't know where it is.
Good question. I suppose the answer is yes, you can. So let's say somebody's a guest somewhere and he forgets to make an eruv. Can he rely on the eruv of the Rav? I suppose if he knows that it is a Rav, without even knowing who it is, can you rely on the fact...
No, you're in a from area. It's not like, I'm not saying it's like a... I'm just saying you don't know the Rabban or the area. You're just staying
there. I think you could probably rely on it. Yeah, no. I would have thought.
Then in some hotels they collect small amounts, longer amounts, to be part of that area.
That won't be necessary in this. In the Eftav Shin, it's not needed. Erev Chatzeros and Shittuf Mavos, we learned such a halacha. And it's a good question, actually. No, you're raising a good point. We find regards to the other Eruvim which exist, there's such a requirement. Here we don't find that. It's interesting why not. But you're right in pointing out. Sif Yud. Ha'ma'arev lachem. That actually leads very much to your point, Mr. Berlin. Very much your point over here. Touches on that. Ha'ma'arev lachem. Now there's a halacha that the Eruv, you've got to own a bit of the Eruv. I think that's a starting point. You've got to own a bit of the Eruv. It's because what's the point? So let's say if I'm making my own Eruv, so what's the rationale in it? So I want to be able to cook on Friday for Yom Tov, so I'm making something now. I'm cooking already potatoes, I'm making a bread, I'm boiling an egg, I'm making something, which is going to be, it's mine, and with this, I've started the cooking process and the preparation process, and therefore I'm allowed to finish that off on Friday by cooking a bit more. So that's obviously only going to work if it's mine. So that's fine if it's my own Eruv, and I'm making my Eruv for myself. What about if it's the Rav's Eruv? How is that going to work? So I understand that the Rav can be yotze with his own Eruv, because that's obviously his egg and it's his matzah. But how is that Eruv going to work for the forgetting individual? That he has forgotten to make an Eruv. Now, we've learned over the last few Seifim that the Rav's Eruv can work for others. Well, how is that going to work if it's his and it's not? I'm the one who forgot, so how is that Eruv going to work? And here comes Seif Yud and gives us the answer to that question. Seif Yud teaches us there's a concept of being mezake alidei acher. So it works in the fact that everybody is making a bit of an acquisition of the Eruv. The forgetting person, he's making a bit of an acquisition in that Eruv, who the Rav is making for the people. So how does he do that? So you've got to acquire a little bit of the... If you forgot to make an Eruv, you need to acquire a bit of the Eruv. If you forgot, you've got to acquire a little bit of the Eruv. How is that going to work? How are you going to acquire a bit of the Eruv? Especially if you only find out on Friday that you forgot. So the answer to that is that the Rav actually makes a process that he acquires for you a bit of the... Now, I can't... The halach is as follows. If I want to... It is not mine, but let's say it would be mine. If this would be mine and I want to give it to you, I can't force it into you. I can give up ownership, but I can't force it into you. The way I can do is I can ask you, can you please acquire this on his behalf? That would work. That's exactly the way it works. That's a concept in acquisition. I cannot force something onto you. If I want to give you my hat, which is probably the last thing you want, but I can't force it onto you, but I can give it to you that you should acquire on his behalf. Same we do with an Eruv Tavshilin. The Eruv Tavshilin is, so the Rav, he can't acquire physically for the you and he can't. Although you probably want to have that Kenyan, but he doesn't know who it is and he can't acquire. But what he can do is give it to a neutral third party person, and he's mezakeh. He says, listen here, I've got a bit of matzah here and I got a bit of egg. This now you take, some I'm keeping for myself, but some is acquired for those people who need the eruv. And he is acquiring it and coining it for those people who forgot the eruv. Does that make sense? Says the Shulchan Aruch Sifyut. Hama'arev la'acherim. Somebody who means an eruv for others. Tzorich, he must, lezakos lahem, he must acquire it alidei acher through a third party. He must make the acquisition of a bit of the eruv. He must do that process on behalf of a third party. Hey, Basil, there must be a better technical term for that. How would you say it?
You can only do it via an agent, via an intermediary.
Intermediary, that, is that it?
The only way to confer partial ownership on a person is by way of an intermediary.
Do you hear that? To confer partial ownership, that sounds like a legal textbook. To confer legal ownership...
You can't put it via an agent.
Yeah? Yeah, okay, that's what it means. For chol mi shemezakin al yodo be'erev Shabbos, mezakin al yodo be'erev Tavshilin. Now, the same process, whatever works for this acquisition, for this kinyan, with regards to erev Shabbos, which is a topic that you touched on, these are the ones that can work also for erev Tavshilin. In other words, a cotton, for instance, a child, I cannot give a child the matzah and the egg, and so you acquire it for the forgetting people, for the ones who need eruv. That's not going to work because a minor cannot make that kinyan. My wife, I also can't do it through her. It's got to be only certain people. Shulchan Aruch is teaching us here: whoever worked for the Hilchos Shabbos is also going to work for eruv Tavshilin as well. Okay. Okay, that's what it is. So Rabbi said, we're learning over here that you may have to make the acquisition, the rov who makes the eruv for others, he must make it a little achem. See if you'd aleph. Zoich ha-zoich ha-lakbiya eruv. The zoich, so in our case it was a Yossel, he is now acquiring on behalf of the others, the intermediary party. Zoich ha-zoich ha-lakbiya eruv min ha-kaka tefach, top of page 300. You've got to, when I give you the egg and the matzah, you have lifted up from the ground one tefach. That's the way you're going to acquire it on behalf of the others.
Just to clarify one thing, does it matter that even though this Zofa individual has no idea who he's doing it?
Yes, it works. Absolutely, yeah. It works because it's a schus for him and it's a positive thing for him, so it's going to work. If it would be something he may not want, but it's something which he wants, therefore it works. Okay, top of page 300. So after I've given you the matzah and I've given you the egg, I've given you. You have now lifted up from the ground one karka. By the way, does it need to be from the ground one tefach? You need to lift. We just learned now. You need to lift it up from the ground one tefach. That's that much, yeah. For the zoo members, it's that much, yeah. So what happens if it's not for? Do I need to lift it up physically from the ground? Truth is, it's very very important. We can ask this question. Does it need to be one tefach from the ground? Or what about if it's from the table? I'm saying, do I need to lift it up from the ground one tefach? Or one from the table is good enough? Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's good enough. I could just, so if I give it to you, you lift it up from the table one tefach, and that will be fine. After having done that, choyze venoit lo, I take it back from you. And this now is not only with regards to a rov's eruv. That's every single one of us. When we make an eruv tavshili, we make the bracha, and we make the bracha al mitzvahs eruv. And we also add, and we say, b'dein, which means with this, yehei shorei, with this, it shall be shorei, should be permitted, lon, for us, la'afuyei, to bake, le'ashulei, to cook, for the atmune, and to the atmona process, which is part of the cooking process. For the atluke shog, that was Reb Gideon's point yesterday, and to light a candle. For the ma'abit called tzarkona, and to make all the required needs. Mi yomtev, from yomtev, le Shabbos to Shabbos, lona, for us. And leploini veleploini, if I do it for somebody else's behalf, I may wish to mention his name, leploini veleploini, or I can say, the more global, unidentified version, I can also say it more vague and say for everybody who lives in the city. Yes, he can. Yes, he can do it in one go. Yeah, he can do the whole thing in one go. Yeah. So you make the bracha and you make that statement that. Now, what happens if you fail to say that? Okay, you make the bracha. And after you got the egg, you got the matzah, and you make the bracha, bracha to Hashem, and then you forget to make the, you forget to say these words, that with this I'm making Erev Tavshil, with this I'm going to allow myself to cook from Friday, I forget. And suddenly comes to Friday, oh no, I forgot to say that these two lines. Is the Erev valid, yes or no? I forgot to say this paragraph. Works or no works? Would work without having said it. Because why? Because you say the bracha?
No, it's intentional. It's like picking up a little of that bracha. You still picked it up. You've still done an action.
You've done the action and you say that it's... Yeah, and you say that... Yeah, okay. Everybody, we think you can. Would?
You had intention to say
it. You had intention. Mishnevu sefkot lamed vav. Second line. Va'oyma beden yeshara. Muchach. It is explicit. It's obvious. Das Ramah, the opinion of the Ramah. Come on, later in Sefchav. Da amirazu. This statement me'akev is required. Ve'yesh cholkim bezeh. There are disagreeing opinions. Va'oyma she'en ze lechatchila. They hold, no. If you forget, it's okay. It's only lechatchila. If you fail to say it, it's still fine. Lema'aseh Rabbi say, I think that the post came. The poskim agree that it's a problem. If a person doesn't say it, it's a problem. Mishnah Berurah says in the name of the Ramah that Amir Azuma Akev, and if one doesn't say it, one is not Yotze. Now, the...
Would this be included in the person that forgets the
Lashon? Yeah, so he can rely on the Rav.
Right.
But if you... What would be the... Yeah, I suppose he can rely on the Rav. He's messed it up now. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Now the Mishnah Berurah also says Laduke Shraga. Now, what were you mentioning at Gedin yesterday about that lighting the candle? So you mentioned that lighting. Lemaisa, not everybody agrees that lighting candle requires Erev Tavshilin. Why would it require Erev Tavshilin? What's the sword that it does require? Because you're lighting before Shabbos. And that's the reason that so according to most opinions, as the Shulchan Aruch is telling us here, if you don't make Erev Tavshilin, you will not be able to light the Shabbos candles. Does that make sense? Because lighting Shabbos candles is a melacha, lighting, and you're doing it for Shabbos. Therefore, if a person didn't do Erev Tavshilin and say, you know, he can't rely on the Rav, or there is no Rav, or whatever, without Erev Tavshilin, you cannot light the Shabbos candle on Yom Tov. You're doing it on Friday for Shabbos. And this is why we say explicitly, when we say the words, when we make the Erev Tavshilin, we say, Bedein, with this, Yei Shorolon, with this, I'm allowed to cook and bake. On Friday, I'm allowed to cook and bake and light a candle. And without it, I may not light the candle. There is opinions that hold you do not need an Erev Tavshilin for lighting candles. It's a minority opinion. And I actually did a bit of research. I checked in old machzorim. It's an easy one, this one. It's an easy one. I checked in old machzorim, and every single old machzor which I checked had included that nusach. You see sometimes it's in brackets. Have you seen it? Have you noticed it? Some machzorim, some contemporary modern machzorim, have you noticed, we'll say that Lukesh Shoghi in brackets, because some opinions say that you don't need Erev Tavshilin for it. But Lemaisa had checked in Ulmach Sem, yes, and they all say that you've got to have Erev Tavshilin to light the candles.
That's the thing with the longest is, when you need the candles lit, they have to be lit before Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Lemaisa mitzvah has to be done before Shabbos, I mean.
Very good. So you're saying that it's not for Shabbos, it's a Yom Tov for Yom Tov.
It's probably a Hanok.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but Lemaisa, the mitzvah of Hadlokas, it's a very good tzvor, and that's where they're coming from. The minority opinion, the whole day, that's where they're coming from. But Lemaisa, the halacha is you do Hadlokas Neiras for Shabbos. In fact, Leman of Kamina, if you light and he blows out straight away, or you light it in a way that you don't have any anor on Shabbos mamish, you're not yoytze the mitzvah, because the hadlokah is that tzorech. Let's say Shabbos. So therefore, it is evident that it is lemaisa. You may require, but I hear you as well, because there is, it's inevitable. You have to light it on Friday. So, yeah. Now what the Ramon now goes into the question: what happens if somebody doesn't understand Aramaic? Okay, he just doesn't understand those words. Well, he doesn't understand Bedein. He doesn't understand Shora, La Fulia. She doesn't understand it. Does it matter? No. Where you come? You see that sphere itself, where the Mishnebura from Mogen Avraham, if somebody counts the sphere and doesn't understand, it still yoitz the mitzvah, right? Somebody doesn't understand Hayoim Shnei Yomim La'oim. It doesn't understand what's flying. He thinks it's some sort of mystical kind of, thing. So, is yoitz or not? Yaloch is absolutely yes, he is yoitz. If you don't understand, so you're saying that you're quoting Mogen Avraham Simon Tov Pei Tes. So just like over there, you're yoitz without understanding. Similarly, also, you should be yoitz even if you don't understand. At the end of the day, you have said the right words. Any other opinions on this? What do you think? Yoitz or not yoitz? You make the Edoshi, you don't understand what's flying.
But it's better to say.
Why can't you say to the language he understands?
So says Stephen, what's the point of saying it in Aramaic if you don't understand it? Say it in English. Check in the Art Scroll translation, go for the English. And you shall say, with this it shall be permitted. They wouldn't use permitted. They would use something else. What would they say? It would be elucidated. I don't know. It will be... pardon? What are you saying? Very good. She's saying, so Ms. Lynn says, we find our locha in Ilchas Pesach. We find in Ilchas Bittel Chometz. That if a person does a bit of chometz, and you're not yotze, you say the chometz is like up with the ara and everything, and you don't understand what's flying, you're saying very correctly, you're not yotze the bittel. Bittel, you have to understand what you're saying. So you're saying that over here also, you should be. Pardon?
So you would say it in English then?
You should say it in English, absolutely. You should say it in English. So Rabbi said, Aloch is indeed, Aloch over here is as follows. Says the Ramah, third line, Umisha Eini Yodea Beloshna Kodesh. It doesn't mean Loshna Kodesh. It means whoever doesn't understand those words, Yuchal Omroi, you can't say it Beloshna Laz. You should say it in Loshan, in a different language. Shemevna, you understand. Now, the words that the Ramah says, if you can't say it in the language that you understand, comes along the Mishnebura and he says, no. It doesn't mean that. It means that you have to say it in a language you understand. You have to say, I'm relying on this. If you don't understand what you're saying in Cain, no, you must understand what you're saying. And if you don't understand what you're saying, you're not yotze. Therefore, somebody's not familiar with the Aramaic expression, Bedein, Ye, Lona, Shorela, Fuilat Luke, Abnat Luke Shaga, Mavet Kol Zakonam Yom, if you don't understand what it is, he should rather say it in English. Or in French, if that's better. But he shouldn't say it in the Loshim, which you don't understand. And it's not comparable to Sfir Sa'im. Why is it not comparable to Sfir Sa'im? Because Sfir Sa'im, it's not so much about understanding. It's a bracha you're saying on the counting, and it's not etc. But it's not here. The whole process needs a statement and needs understanding, and therefore if a person not understands, then you're not yotze. So Rabbi Isai, what do you want to say?
Well, that's the same with the Torah's the Dorim, which is quite Aramaic as well. And when you before Rosh Hashanah,
agreed. Hatoz Nadorim needs to be understood. Yes. Absolutely, it's a very good question why Hatoras Nadorim is recited in Aramaic, and one has to look in the Kabbalistic sources why it's Tafka said in Aramaic. That's something the Malach HaShoyis don't understand, but it is strange. It is strange. Of course, you've got to understand Hatoras Nadorim. Okay, Rabbi Isai, we learned this evening the following halachas. We learned that if a person, a Rav, makes an Eruv Tavshilin, he doesn't have to specify who is included. Global, generic works. However, it's only going to work for the people within the Tchum. People out of the Tchum are not included. We spoke about the Das, the intention. The Rav has got to have intention. Whoever forgets, I'm including him. In terms of the one who is Yotze with it, a passive kind of understanding is good enough. He forgot, he knows about the Rav, it's good enough. We spoke about the process of acquisition. The way it works is the Kinyan de Acher. The Rav cannot just impose and force the Kinyan. Obviously, the way it works is through intermediate third-party involvement, which is Koinen, Mezaka, they work Kinyan de Acher. So here, the Rav gives it to that person who acquires the egg and the matzah on behalf of the forgetting people, and then he makes a hakbom, one tefach, Rav takes it back, and he makes the brocha. Subsequently, he says, b'den yeshore, he makes that statement, which we said, without stating, you're not yoitza, and we said also that it's got to be said in English. If it's not said, not in English, but it has to be seen in a way that he understands. If he doesn't understand it, he's not yoitza. Okay, these are pretty much the point we covered this evening. More on this tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Good Chodesh, everybody. Good Chodesh.